come into your presence. We acknowledge the King of all kings. And you're here, Lord, and we're here to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, "Separate the heavens from the earth." And God said, "Separate the waters from the land." And God said, "Bring forth the grass and the trees." And God said, "Bring forth the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea." And God said, "Create the cattle, all creeping things." And then God said, "Let us make man in our image." And in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God built this garden and put them in the garden of paradise, the Garden of Eden. And he said, "There, this is where I want you to take care of the garden. And you may eat of every tree of the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Inside there, God said to Adam, "Name all the animals." And he named every animal, and whatever Adam called him, that was the name of the animal. And it was not found in helpmate for Adam. So God put him to sleep, opened up his side, took out a rib, and made woman. And she would be the helpmate, the helper, the completer. He closed the side up, presented him with his wife. And he said, "For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and leave their home. And the two shall come together and be one flesh." And then one day, they were walking in the garden, as they so often did. In the cool of the eve, they had been talking with God. On this particular day, they were walking in the day, and all of a sudden, the most gorgeous beast that had ever been was there in the locale by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. His name, they called him Serpent. And he yelled out to Adam and Eve, who were standing and walking by there. He said, "Eve, has God not said you could eat of every tree of the garden?" And in my mind's eye, he was pointing to this beautiful tree. It's gorgeous. And all the fruit that you could even imagine there on that tree. "Oh yes, God said we could eat of every tree of the garden. But he said of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, don't eat of it. For he said, don't even touch it. Because in the day that you eat thereof, you will die." And this gorgeous beast said, "You won't die." Said, "God knows that when you eat of that tree, you will become wise like the gods." And Eve looked at the tree. And she saw it was good for fruit. It was pleasant to the eye. It was good for food. And it was desired to make one wise, and she ate of the fruit. And she turned to her husband, who was standing there, and gave it to him, and he ate of the fruit. And immediately, their eyes were opened, and they saw each other. And they saw each other as naked, and they were ashamed. And they went and they found these leaves to cover even so much their shame. And the cool of the eve came. And in the eve, God was walking, as he had done many times. He was walking in the garden. And he said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam said, "Oh God, I am hiding because I'm naked." "Adam, who told you that you're naked? Adam, have you eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" And Adam said, "God, the woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit, and I ate." And he said, Eve, have you eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And Eve said, the serpent deceived me. And so God turned to the serpent and said to him, you're cursed above all animals, and you will crawl upon your stomach all of your life, and you will return back to the dust. And to the woman, he said, because you've eaten of the fruit. He said, in childbirth there will be sorrow. And said also, you will desire to have your husband to rule over you, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, because you have done this, cursed is the ground for your sake. And he said, out of the ground shall come forth thorns and thistles, and by the sweat of the brow you will have food, and you will return to dust from which you came. And God, in his infinite mercy, took an animal and sacrificed that animal and took of its garment the skin, and he gave a garment for Adam and Eve to be clothed. And Eve was there. Her name, Eve, because she is the mother of all living. Rather than issuing death upon humanity, God said Eve, and she became the mother of all living. And God loved them so much that in the Garden of Eden there was a tree of life. And if anyone would eat of that tree of life, they would live forever. And God said, so that Adam, now who is in this sinful condition, doesn't eat of the tree of life and live forever. Adam, you are now to leave the garden forever. And God put his angel, his cherubim, there in the gate of the garden to guard the gate, because in his infinite love and infinite mercy, he knew that it would not be for man to live eternally in a state of sin. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. As we look together in the book of Genesis in chapter 3, we begin to discover some of the interesting things in life as God created the heavens and the earth. And as I think about Genesis chapter 3, and I look in this garden that was there, it was a perfect environment. There was no sin. It was a perfect environment. No society, no class society, no drugs, no class distinction, no rapists, no wars, no untruthfulness, no disease, no unemployment, no sin, no sorrow, no sadness. In the midst of that garden, there was innocence. Innocence. That must have been amazing. And so therefore you can live in a perfect environment and you will be challenged in regards to your innocence. And for Adam and Eve, they chose selfishly. And what happened? Guilt came upon them. And because of this guilt, the Lord Jesus Christ had to come. And he had to come and give his life so that man might have Jesus Christ and live forever. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, he that hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Can you imagine that just for a moment? In the midst. We say, well, where is the paradise? It's in the presence of God. And the Scripture says in Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates unto the city. You have an opportunity to enter in to the gates of the city. And you enter in through the gates of the city by making a reservation. You make that reservation through Jesus Christ. Now, There's a lot that's happened from Genesis to Revelation. And so what I'd like for us to do is to capture about five faces just for a moment. Five faces. The first face that I'd like for you to see is developing out of chapter 3 is that of the serpent. The serpent, the scripture says, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. Do you see that? You follow with me today? Genesis 3? The serpent. The serpent. Now, what's so special about this serpent? He was a creation of God. He was beauty. Have you ever known of a serpent to speak? This serpent did. But this serpent, in its very special place, he was a creation of God. He had supernatural abilities because the scripture says, and he said to the woman. But inside of him, there was rebellion. Rebellious challenge to remove the innocent. Yea, God has said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Wait a minute. The serpent. Do you know who this guy is? Let me ask you real quick. Give me three names of the serpent. You want to know some more names of him? Let me take you back, okay? Let me take you back just for a few moments. Because you kind of got to capture this. Because the book of the beginnings. You say, now Eve, she was an innocent. But what did Eve go up against? And let me ask you a question before we get there. Could Eve had resist the temptation of the devil? That's a question I want you to contemplate. And while you're thinking about that question, read these names.
Sometimes it causes me to tremble.
Names of Satan begins to recognize the troubles and all in which he had and she was forced upon her. So serpent, we know who he is. Serpent was in creation in rebellion. The serpent had the supernatural abilities, and the serpent challenged the innocent. Liar, murderer, you saw his many names. And as we begin to think about that, we want to carry this on further. We won't develop and give him any more time. But what I'd like for us to recognize, in the face of evil, Jesus Christ is our champion. The Scripture says, greater is he that's within you than he that is in the world. Now that one who walked in the garden was God. Jesus is God. Eve had all that she needed to overcome the temptation of Satan. But you saw by his names and characteristics how powerful he was. What we must understand, that in the face of evil, the saints are going to win. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb because they loved not their lives unto the death. What we understand here is, yes, Satan is strong, and we see that face of evil. But I want you to know, Christ is stronger. The second face I want you to see is that is the face of innocence. And how did Eve lose her innocence? When she approached in the garden, she had no baggage, she had no guilt, she had no shame, she had nothing to be accused with, she had a clean conscience. God had provided her with provisions, freedoms, boundaries, and he also let her know the consequences that stood before her. She knew those. Because in verse 2, the Scripture says, "And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." In other words, Eve had what it took to defeat the devil. Young people, this morning, you've got what it takes. You've got what it takes to defeat the devil. Because what you've got the Word of God. Now Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So many people think this is the way, but wait a minute. Always measure it by the Word. And when you come back to the Word, James 1:22 says, "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." In other words, if you think that you can go beyond what the Word of God has said, and your way is better, or that you can go beyond what the boundaries are set, you're only fooling yourself. The Scripture says, "Be a doer of the Word, and not a hearer only." Because Revelation 22 says, "Blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city." Blessed is the man who does what? Who does the commandments of God. Now, so you see the face of innocence. She was given the capability. She had all the tools that she needed. But yet, the face of deception. The face of deception came on. And what are some of the known facts of the face of deception? The first one is found in verse 4 where it says, "The serpent said to the woman, Thou shalt not surely die." Satan is the source of all temptation. Carry it anywhere you want to go, and it all will lead back to that stream, to the mouth, the source, and it comes back to Satan. Denying God's word is the root of the deception. You see, the source, yes, he was there to tempt. Verse 5 says, "For God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When you begin to deny, question, doubt the Word of God, then the source of Satan kicks in. God doesn't really love you. God doesn't really care about all you. God doesn't know how you feel. God doesn't know what you. God doesn't know what you're experiencing. God is holding out upon you. So Lucifer began to say, and desire then kicks in and becomes the course of deception. Because he said, "You will be like God." And then pride is the hallmark of deception, knowing good and evil. So how does this thing work? Okay, let's see if we can do it. How does it work? Begin with something familiar. And when you begin with something familiar, then if you are influenced by Satan, that which is familiar will become confusion. And then when confusion comes in and disorder, then there comes doubt. And when doubt comes in, that leads to division or separation. And then out of that separation, that division, there comes forth death. Starts with something familiar, but it ends with death. James 1:13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death." David knew this, so he said in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." So the face of evil, the face of innocence, the face of deception. And now let's look at the face of the fallen. And it is found in verse 6. And the scripture says, "So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband who ate with her." Sin. What is the course of it? The course of sin begins with contact of the familiar, connecting with the natural desires, creating choice, bearing consequences. Contact. Contact. How does that? How does that look? What does that deception look like? Contact. Let's just say you're on the job and all of a sudden you're working. Okay. You're behind the cash register. And because you're behind the cash register, you got people coming in all day. So what do? You're taking in money all day long. But wait a minute. You figured out a little something that if I put a little money to the side and put a gym clip at the end of the day, then I can make my cash register balance. Oh, it was familiar. You've been dealing with money all day long. And you had this doubt, if I put this little gym clip to the side and at the end of the day I can balance my cash register, well, it won't be so bad. And so all of a sudden, at the end of the day, you took just a little bit. And then what happened? That little bit took you. And then when it ended up, you were separated. In the world of business, you were fired. In the course of living, you lost your innocence before God. And you said, "But it was only money." You see how something so familiar can be taken and used and corrupted and bring separation and ultimately even bring death? That's true with money. Take any kind of category, any direction that you want to. And I'll take something that's familiar in your life that's good. Money's not bad. The scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's neutral. But wait a minute. Whatever area of your life, you've been made, you've been built with natural desires. And how you fulfill those natural desires. And so we see that it's not the temptation. It's not the, oh, you were behind the cash register. The boss has been giving you grief. You deserve it. Yeah. It's not that you were tempted. That's not the issue. The Bible says Jesus was out in the wilderness and he was tempted. It's not that. What is the succumbing to the temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You know what that means? That means you may think you're pretty good. Okay? And it means you may have been pretty good for a long time. And it means I would never succumb to that temptation. Therefore, him that thinketh he does good, let him think again. Because the scripture says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such that is common to man. But God is faithful to make you faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So the point is this. It's not the temptation. We're all going to be tempted. And God's going to give you a way that you can overcome that temptation. Just like God gave Eve the word from her husband, which was from God. And God may have even told Eve directly to her face. She had the word. She was tempted. She lost her innocence. And so many of us have lost our innocence in the face of sin. And if you think about it, you'd say, "Well, man, it's all over with now." Well, I want to go to the last face. And that's the face of God. Because the good news is it's not over with. And the approaching sounds of Jesus Christ coming are the sounds of victory for those who are looking forward to His return. Are you looking forward to His return? Man, I am. I can tell you I am. But what would it have been like to have been out there in the garden and hear the Lord God walking your way? What would you have done? Today, what would you have done? I know many of you would have said, "Hot diggity dog." And man, y'all would have head to the Master. And you'd have looked into His eyes and you'd have given Him glory. Man, that would have been great. But there may be some here this morning that wouldn't say, "Hot diggity dog," but they'll say, "Oh no. Oh my. Oh my." That's what we heard them say in verse 8. "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the..." How in the world do you hide from God? I mean, but here they are, hide from... I mean, you get behind a big apple tree, a big oak tree, or an orange tree, or a pear tree, or a banana tree. Man, you can hide from God, right? No, you can't hide from God. You don't believe that, do you? Do you believe you can hide from God today? When you do something to displease Him, you think He can hide from where He don't see you? No. So therefore, remember, when you are at that division line, you got to go to the right or left, you remember God can see you and the trees can't hide you. He's right there. See the face of God. Where are you? Remember this also. Did God know that they had eaten of the tree? Absolutely. He didn't go for information. He went for confession. Adam, what have you done? But also note this, that even though they had turned their back on Him, who went to them? The Lord God went to them. You see, you may have lost your innocence, But the Lord God will come to you. And when He comes to you, He will give you the solution. In fact, He will even sacrifice His Son to cover your sin. Eve, what have you done? Adam, what have you done? Sir, ma'am, young person, child, what have you done? Our natural response is to blame somebody else. It's never really our fault anyway. It's our culture. It's where we live. It's our environment. It's our society. It's our times. But it's not. What have you done? Adam confessed what he did, even though he blamed Eve. Eve confessed, even though she blamed the serpent, but they both confessed. And so what did God do? God did not wipe them out, but He said, Eve, you'll be the mother of the living. Lamb, it doesn't say what the animal was, but I think it may have been a lamb. And He took that lamb and He slain it. And He covered them with the skin. Blood was shed on behalf of those. See, the face of God comes to you in love. He makes the provision to cover you. He removes the guilt and the shame. And He provides the blessing for you. He even loved you so much that He'll send you out into the wilderness, into the openness, out of the garden, so that you don't continue, so that you don't hurt yourself more. He loves you that much. And that's what He did. The face of God sent them out of paradise, out of the Garden of Eden, to go and to begin the progression leading up to the Son, Jesus Christ. Or it was from Adam and Eve that the Lord Jesus came, the healer, the restorer, the perfecter of our salvation. And the last thought I want to leave with you on the face of God is, remember, paradise is waiting on you. Waiting on you. Do you have what it takes to defeat the devil? Let me ask that a question again. Do you have what it takes to defeat the devil? You've got the Word, right? What did Eve have? She had the Word. And the Scripture says, be ye doer of the Word, and not hearers only. You have what it takes to defeat the devil every time. You know the consequences if you don't, but you know the blessing when you do. And may God bless you in this journey with the faces of God. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before You this morning, we come recognizing, Lord, there are many things that are happening right here. Father, You're the way. You're the truth. You're the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by You. And Lord, I just ask You right now to, Lord, just pull the curtain back a little bit. Let us see the tree. Let us have the knowledge, God, of what's right in front of us. And may we hear You, Lord, and obey You and do Your Word. Because inside of that, there's life. Inside of that, there's blessing. Oh, Father, bless now Your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we share together in a time of invitation this morning, it's going to be an opportunity for you. Opportunity for you. You might say, well, Brother Robert said, look, I've lost my innocence. Yes, but I'll tell you the good news. The Bible says this, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sins. And He will make you white as snow. That's what He'll do. That's what He'll do. He will restore you to a state of spiritual innocence by coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what where you lost your innocence. What matter is this, the restoration, the coming in to the face of God and seeing Him for who He is and what He's done for you. And if you've never accepted Christ, if you've never received that freedom, had that guilt removed, I encourage you to come and stand with me and say, Brother Robert, I want Jesus. Hey, if you'll do that, He will come. He will help you. He will bless you. And you can walk with Him. And you can leave out this morning, not hiding in the garden as Adam and Eve, but walking hand in hand with Jesus Christ. The prayer altars are going to be open. What is God saying to you this day? Let's stand together and sing.